Florida airport is threatened by an arson fire. Virgin America wants to serve Chicago O'Hare. And NTSB says a Reno racer fell victim to wake turbulence. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 13th, 2008. Brush fires near Florida's Space Coast are threatening property and aircraft at Valcaria Airport. Airport manager Steve Borowski said late yesterday no one at the airport had been injured, but in the wee hours this morning, Orlando's WESH-TV was reporting, quote, Valcaria Airport has been overrun by flames, unquote. Arson is suspected. Palm Bay Police arson investigator Ernie Diebel told CBS News, witnesses reported seeing someone in a car drop an unknown object in a field, then flee the scene. The flames started a short time later. Pilots and owners with aircraft based at Valcaria are strongly advised not to try to get onto the airport grounds. In February, a vocal airport opponent was appointed to the airport commission by Brevard County Commissioner Chuck Nelson. Former Valcaria Airport Commissioner Milo Zonka said that was like, quote, hiring an arsonist as fire chief, unquote. Get the latest on the fire and updates on our website at aero-news.net. California-based low-cost airline Virgin America announced on Monday it will seek government approval to serve Chicago O'Hare International Airport. Chicago would be the eighth city in the airline's network. Virgin entered the U.S. market in August last year. CEO David Cush calls Chicago a world-class city and a perfect fit for the company's innovative low-fare service. Quote, we want to bring Chicago travelers a better choice with attractive fares and brand new planes that offer a unique, upscale flying experience, from leather seats to individual video touchscreens at every seatback, unquote. Virgin America plans to file an application later this week with the FAA to serve O'Hare under the existing demand management rules at the airport. The carrier notes legacy airlines represent 99% of the domestic departures at O'Hare, with low-cost airlines representing only 1%. The company hopes to start service to O'Hare from San Francisco International and LAX sometime later this year. The National Transportation Safety Board issued a report last week on the cause of a fatal crash at the 2007 Reno National Championship Air Races. As ANN reported, 47-year-old pilot Bradley Morehouse died when he lost control of his L-39 after passing pylon 8 in the course. Videos showed the L-39 immediately behind the race leader in a Rockwell T-2B Buckeye. As both aircraft rounded the pylon, Morehouse's L-39 was witnessed banking to the left, then banking to the right through an inverted position while descending. The aircraft hit the ground in an upright, nose-low attitude. The NTSB concluded Morehouse encountered wake turbulence from the aircraft in front of him and was unable to recover in the limited time afforded by his low altitude. The report noted the vortices resulting from the wake of a larger aircraft can impose rolling moments exceeding the roll control authority of the encountering aircraft. NTSB also noted Morehouse had competed in the jet races in 2006 and 2007, where the director of flight operations for the jet class indicated that all pilots are given training in wake turbulence avoidance procedures during the Reno Pylon Racing Seminar. A University of Wisconsin hospital med flight crew died Saturday evening when a helicopter crashed in La Crosse shortly after takeoff. The crew was sent to La Crosse to drop off a patient. After refueling at La Crosse, the helicopter departed for Madison. At 10:30 p.m. local, air traffic control lost contact. The FAA told the Associated Press the wreckage was found at 8:25 a.m. Sunday morning, about 3 miles from the La Crosse airport. Lost in the crash were surgeon Dr. Darren Bean, nurse Mark Coyne, and pilot Steve Lipperer. All three lived in Madison. Their ages were not immediately available. The pilot was flying VFR. There were no concerns about the weather before the flight, but deteriorating conditions into the night caused the search to be conducted by ground only. The helicopter was a new American Eurocopter EC-130 on lease since August. Mike Allen, a spokesman for the lessor, Air Methods in Denver, told the Chicago Tribune that there have been no reported mechanical problems with this particular aircraft or with the model, with more than 600 EC-130s in operation. NTSB is investigating. Up next on ANN, pilots for ABX Air take their gripes public. Air Canada hides a fuel surcharge in the fine print. And astronomer and astronaut Ron Parise has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the suit, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 13th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. An astronomer and computer specialist who went on to fly on two space shuttle missions has lost a three-year battle with brain cancer. Former shuttle payload specialist Dr. Ronald A. Paris, Ph.D., died at his home in Silver Springs, Maryland on Friday. He was 56 years old. Paris was one of the developers of the Ultraviolet Imaging Telescope and used the device to study stars and other celestial objects during shuttle missions in 1990 and 1995. Born in 1951 in Warren, Ohio, Paris earned his amateur radio license at age 11 and remained active in ham radio using the call sign WA4SIR. The Houston Chronicle reports that as a teenager, he became active in the Mahoning Valley Astronomical Society and built two telescopes. He also learned to fly small aircraft, which his wife told the paper became a lifelong joy until his disease became advanced. Paris also earned a bachelor's degree in physics from Youngstown State University and master's and doctorate degrees in astronomy from the University of Florida. In 1984, he became a NASA payload specialist, working on several technical projects in addition to spending 614 hours in orbit and traveling 10.6 million miles in the process. Paris refined and packaged a small ham radio station which could be used from the shuttles, bringing the thrill of direct voice contact with an orbiting astronaut to thousands of school children through SAREX, the Shuttle Amateur Radio Experiment. The program has been a public relations bonanza for NASA. After 12 years with the space agency, Paris held several other space, astronomy, and computer-related jobs. He's survived by his wife, the former Cecilia Sokol, who he met at Youngstown State, a son, Nicholas, who's in the Air Force, and a daughter, Catherine, who lives in Silver Springs. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday at Resurrection Catholic Church in Burtonsville, Maryland. The family requests that donations in lieu of flowers be sent to Youngstown State University Foundation's Dr. Ronald A. Paris Scholarship Fund. ABX Air is a cargo hauler which employs about 7,000 people around its hub in Wilmington, Ohio. The Airline Professionals Association, Teamsters Local 1224, which represents ABX pilots and is trying to organize the company's mechanics, is turning up the heat on management to get answers to its concerns over the company's future. The Business Courier of Cincinnati reports pilots took out half-page ads in the Wall Street Journal and trade papers ahead of this week's shareholders meeting, directing readers and investors to a website at the URL www.askjoeheat.com. There you'll find what pilots call the hard questions that should be asked of ABX CEO Joe Heat. That's H-E-T-E. Among them, why did management reject a lucrative buyout offer from A-Star Cargo Holdings? Is the company's recent grounding of several aircraft a sign of looming financial trouble? And has ABX lost the support of its largest customer, DHL? Pilots also want to know why ABX has not consolidated operations it acquired in November through the buyout of Cargo Holdings International and its two airline subsidiaries. An ABX spokesman would say only that officials plan to address the pilots' concerns at today's shareholder meeting. Canadians will be noticing some significant price increases for air travel as Air Canada this week quietly began adding a fuel surcharge on flights within North America. As much as $120 could be added to any round-trip ticket price as the national carrier fights rising fuel costs. The new surcharges of $20, $40, and $60 will be put on every one-way ticket flying within Canada and the U.S. The Ottawa Citizen reported the Consumer Association of Canada said Friday that the announcement by Air Canada will surely affect how often Canadians fly. Association VP Mel Fruit commented, quote, "This is a significant increase. Canadians will now think, let's drive instead of flying or not go at all. We're getting very annoyed that airlines treat their customers with contempt. It's misleading that the ticket price means absolutely nothing now with all these surcharges and fees. This has been going on for so long. This is the breaking point," unquote. Air Canada says its jet fuel costs increased by 78% in the past year. On Thursday, Air Canada reported a $288 million loss in the first quarter alone. The fee is listed on tickets as a line item prior to purchase, is not reflected in advertised prices, and on the airline's website, it's hidden within a line that simply says NAVCAN and surcharges, and that's only broken down if the user clicks on it. The Canadian Transportation Agency says there are no regulations that would force airlines to disclose the surcharge as part of their advertised prices. The first U.S. military plane loaded with cyclone relief supplies arrived in Myanmar on Monday as members of Joint Task Force Carrying Response prepared to dispatch two more relief flights. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman said the C-130 Hercules transport arrived at Rangoon International Airport after delivering a load of more than 8,000 water bottles, two pallets of mosquito nets, and a pallet of blankets to military officials for distribution. The plane returned to Utapao Thai Royal Navy Air Base in Thailand. Two more flights are planned in support of the U.S. Agency for International Development's Office of Foreign Disaster Relief, approved by the military junta that has ruled Myanmar for 19 years. Today's flights will carry food and water to be turned over to Myanmar and officials for distribution. The U.S. military has additional assets in the area which could be called on if needed. For days after the cyclone hit the impoverished, unprepared population, Myanmar and officials would not allow foreign aid into the country without guarantees the leaders of the junta would be given credit for providing the supplies. The official death toll stands at 31,938, but nearly 30,000 more are missing. United Nations officials put the toll between 62 and 100,000, and many more are at risk of infection by diseases related to mosquitoes and tainted water supplies. The UN says about 2 million people may be refugees. Still ahead, an inattentive pilot flies through the Bush Ranch restricted area on the weekend of Jenna's wedding. China says it will build a 150-seat airliner. And Honeywell and Pratt & Whitney get a contract to develop the Army's new turbine. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 13, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. For the second time in 3 weeks, a general aviation pilot has busted restricted area P-49 around President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. As ANN reported, infamous British pilot Maurice Kirk landed his J-3 Cub near the ranch April 25th. Kirk said he wanted to personally drop off a note thanking Bush for his rescue by the U.S. Coast Guard, 80 miles off the coast of the Dominican Republic back in February. Kirk's wife insisted that since Bush was not at the ranch at the time, the restricted zone should have been at 3 miles, not 30, and Kirk therefore didn't violate P-49 when he landed on a farmer's field 6 miles from the ranch. Now we hear that late Friday afternoon, a pilot bound for Durant accidentally entered the restricted zone and promptly hustled out of it when notified by controllers. The Durant Democrat reports the pilot was questioned by authorities in that Oklahoma town after he landed there late Friday afternoon. The paper says no additional action was taken by authorities against that pilot who was from Texas. P-49 extends in a 3-mile radius from the center of the president's ranch when he's not there, and swells to 30 nautical miles when either Bush or his family is at the ranch. NOTAM 8/6428 was in effect from last Thursday through Sunday due to the Saturday wedding of the president's daughter, Jenna. Chinese officials in Shanghai announced on Sunday the inauguration of a new passenger aircraft company focused on the development of a 150-seat airliner. The Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China Limited, or CACC, aims to compete with Boeing and Airbus in the expanding Chinese market. The company announced plans to build the airliner by 2020 in a drive to develop more sophisticated products, cutting its reliance on overseas companies. Bloomberg reports the company was formed with an initial investment equivalent to about $2.7 billion U.S. The biggest shareholder is the state-owned Assets Supervision and Administration Commission. Other shareholders include China Aviation Industry Corporations 1 and 2, both of which are also state-owned. The industry is still awaiting the first flight of the first homegrown Chinese airliner, the ARJ-21, being built by Avic One. The 90-seater, which was dubbed the Shangfang, or Flying Phoenix, was slated to make its first flight in March after rolling off the assembly line last December. Advanced Turbine Engine Company, LLC, which is a Honeywell and Pratt & Whitney joint venture, has been awarded a $108 million contract by the U.S. Army for the Advanced Affordable Turbine Engine Technology Demonstrator Program. The program is designed to validate the technologies needed to achieve the Army's aggressive performance goals of 65% improvement in shaft horsepower to weight ratio and a 25% improvement in specific fuel consumption for the next generation 3,000 shaft horsepower engine for the UH-60 Black Hawk and AH-64 Apache helicopters. Jerry Wheeler, ATEC Deputy Program Director and Pratt & Whitney Program Manager, says his team is focused on the Army's performance goals. Quote, "The advanced 3,000 shaft horsepower market represents a tremendous business growth opportunity, and we're excited about teaming to develop this new engine," unquote. Honeywell and Pratt & Whitney announced the formation of ATEC and their intent to seek this contract at the Paris Air Show last year. And finally, if you tie down your aircraft outdoors, you know enough to include a check for bird and insect nests before you take off. Sailors on the USS Harry Truman found more than a nest on the morning of March 17th. They found a very small screech owl stowed away in a main gear wheel well on an F/A-18 Hornet. The find saved the little critter from being ingested by an engine as foreign object debris. But what now? Well, luckily, aviation structural mechanic second class Zachary Gorman was serving on board and is a licensed falconer in the U.S. He administered a shot of sugar water to rehydrate the owl, and the crew took care of him until a ride back to shore was arranged on a carrier onboard delivery aircraft. In the meantime, the crew named the little guy FOD, that's spelled F-O-D, as in foreign object debris. Here's hoping he doesn't return from the wild to live up to his name. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll ask 2008 National CFI of the Year, Max Trescott, about the FAA's low expectations for general aviation and what it would take to improve the record. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.